Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Hitchedapologist. We come to you broadcasting an emergency message from what happened today. We have been preparing for months, and that's why you guys haven't heard a message, for the grandest apoc-eclipse that would ever happen. And today, this whole country went through it together, and I'm glad to say that it was nothing. And it was a good spectacle. I took a little time when I was at work today and kept putting on my little glasses and seeing it. And we're in an area where we got to see about three quarters of it, and you know, yippee, great! Another 325 years from now, we'll see it again.
Yeah, or in another 6 months.
But you know, we wanted to make this episode because we're just going to jump on the bandwagon as everybody else is doing. But no, seriously, we've been away for a little bit. And
busy with school, lots of classes, tests.
Yes, it's finals weeks right now. So it's very tough on our schedule. And we have some other stuff that's been going on in our personal lives that we will flesh out at the end of this episode and let you guys know what has been going on. Other than that, we wanted to talk specifically on this Fast Impacts episode about resisting conspiracy theories. And when it comes to this topic, I know that I was super duper huge into conspiracy theories. We're talking about, you know, waters and frogs changing and whatnot, and you know, portals opening up, and you know, CERN and Hadron Collider, and you know, the Watchers down there in, you know, Antarctica and the Book of Enoch and whatnot.
I don't know about you guys, but I've had to stay off social media for the past few days because there's been a lot of conspiracy theories that have been floating around out there, and it's all revolving around this eclipse. So
yeah,
it's been pretty crazy.
The fact of the matter is that I used to follow all these different sites and all these different speakers. I realized that they're part of the Apostle and Prophets movement. A lot of these people, either they're hyper Republican, hyper political, or they're in the Prophet movement where they're like, they're making predictions like, oh, something's going to happen. And they're very vague. They're vague predictions like, oh, there's, you know, something's going to happen that day and the sun's going to shine. Yeah. And then it's going to stop shining, and that means this, and the numbers correlate to this.
And then the crossing, and like, oh, this means God's judgment is happening today, and
yeah,
you better be prepared. And I was just, actually, I didn't even view the eclipse today.
Yeah, you were inside. Yeah, I worked outside. Yeah, I got fried by the sun here in the southwestern heat.
Kind of forgot about it too.
But the thing is that I wanted to bring up is that there were so many conspiracies from friends of mine that are still involved in these movements that they listed. Conspiracies ranging from CERN starting up again, and that was going to create portals opening up, and that, you know, the Mandela effect was going to start all over again, and things were going to be changing, you know, and you know, like portals opening up, and that the government was sending missiles up into the sun to cause this happen, and then dragon stars were here, and then you know the whole Nineveh thing, and it's a symbolism for this and that, and judgment is coming. And
it's funny that I've seen a lot of the sign of Jonah, but it's funny because it has nothing to do with the eclipse. It has to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So it's pretty out there with the verses being used. I'm just like, I don't even know. It's crazy.
And that's the thing that we wanted to come and talk about tonight. And it's like, we are where we're at right now. It's been about 7 hours since the end of the eclipse in our state.
Yeah.
As we're making this right now, and we will be releasing this in about an hour and a half after I'm done editing it at the same day that this happened. And who knows, you know, by 12 o'clock something could happen.
Oh my goodness.
No, fingers crossed. But I did want to make some notes here. It reminded me a lot of these things from when I read Cold Case Christianity by J. Warner Wallace. And there's a specific spot in the book. It is actually, I have it here because I wanted to make sure that we talked about it here. It is chapter 7 of his book, and it's called Resisting Conspiracy Theories. While this chapter initially addresses the fact of how some people have a claim that Christianity was conspired and that they tricked everybody, the initial rules that Wallace lists out for a successful conspiracy to occur, which a lot of these things that they list, and it's not just this eclipse, every so often there's another thing that happens. 2012, you know, some other solar flare that was supposed to happen a few months ago or last year or something like that.
Yeah.
There's always something that these people are trying to say is going to happen, which is a conspiracy theory. Yeah.
We were in that.
Like, I was tripping out. Yeah.
I actually stayed home from work.
I had made my wife stay home from work because I thought something big was going to happen. That's how involved I was. Like, you can't go to work. We can't go do nothing. We got to sit here and pray and hold each other for the whole day because something's going to happen.
It's true. That's
yeah,
a true
it was,
story.
It was nutty. But I did want to share because J. Warner Wallace being a crime scene investigator, he knows when it comes to conspiracies and stuff like this. And he gives a great list. It's a small list. It's just four rules. And the first one is, when it comes to a successful conspiracy, there must be a small number of conspirators. And from all the conspiracies that I've heard, having been involved in conspiracy theories, everything is like globalist, international scale. Like, if they're doing these things, how can there be so many involved? And it's just not, like, nobody's falling through. There would be a breakdown of communication between people who are co-conspirators. And that leads us into rule number two, which is there must be thorough and immediate communication between co-conspirators for this to actually work. And with the amount of people that we have that are going to be involved in these things and how deep it goes, and they claim the claim of the deep state and this and that, and there's just so many people involved. And it's like, how can this communication happen without the leakage happening? And if they were going to do something, how come every single person knows when they're going to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is it that they're going to plan to do something, but everybody knows it's already going to happen?
Right.
So, like, that's another breakdown right there. And also, that leads us into the third rule, that it must be a short time span. But when it comes to these conspiracies, people have been saying that they've been planning it for years. And the words of that dude from The Sandlot, they've been planning it for years. But yes, it's not just a short, all of a sudden thing. These people are saying that these globalists or whoever is doing this, the elites, they've been doing this for decades, planning these different things to happen, you know, like Project Bluebeam and all these other things. And it's like, the aliens are going to pop out with the Bluebeams and the holographics in the sky. And then they're going to know, like,
Alex Jones.
Exactly. You know, and for it to be successful, it has to be done quickly and in a short time span. But these are happening supposedly, hypothetically, in a very long period of time. And lastly, there must be significant relational connections between co-conspirators, meaning the best that Wallace says is family. So when families are involved, they tend to not want to give each other up when it comes to something like this.
Right.
So with the more family involved, which means nobody's going to actually like, hey, I'm going to rat on you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But what we're talking about, when it's such an expansive like idea of what governments and national, international things are trying to plan
stuff.
Yeah. It's like, but how, nobody's family.
Right.
I mean, I could probably name a few families out there that may be involved with weird things, but it's like, it's a plethora of people. I don't even know if that's the right word. It's just, it's a lot of people involved that have probably never even met each other, and they report to somebody else and report to somebody else, which leads us back to rule number two of breakdown of communication.
Right. And just kind of piggybacking off like what you say. So as Christians, we need to be careful in getting tangled up in conspiracy theories, because we represent Christ and our worldview is rooted in his resurrection, you know, which is far from conspiracy theory. But you have the unsaved world, you know, looking in, and they won't know the difference between, you know, the resurrection and the conspiracy theories that we're believing and,
right,
you know, spreading around. And, you know, when Christians get themselves lumped in those conspiracy theories, it puts off a false message to unbelievers.
Oh,
and as Christians, like, we really need to, you know, be aware of that and realize that truth should be our top priority in the things that we say.
Yes, that is perfect. That is a great point. And what I was also thinking that is that I was actually going to expound on what you said. And it's, you know, people definitely do are look, they're looking in at us. Mm-hmm. And then when they see these people on the right or, you know, that, that are Christian and they're saying, you know, this is going to happen. I know it, you know, yeah. And then it doesn't happen. They're like, look, they're just as quacky as anybody else. Like, they're, why should we believe them when they're wrong about everything anyway?
Right.
Like, how is that a good representation, as you said? And our point here is the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. We're here to evangelize. We're here to show people Christ and spread the good news. And how are we doing that when we're believing everything in the wind? Mm-hmm. You know, and everything that comes around, it's like, oh my gosh, there's another thing that somebody's planning to do against us. And it gets very hard, especially when you're trying to live a life where you're trying to communicate the gospel to people and they're going to bring up stuff like, oh, I heard the other day that you Christians believe this. Is that right. True? It's like they have proof for it because yeah, they have people that can pull up on YouTube and they're making some random claims.
Yeah, and you could kind of see that too today because when you tell someone you're a Christian, they're automatically going to label you as a Christian nationalist. So you kind of see that playing out in that aspect. So this is just a reminder to definitely check your sources and have truth at the forefront of your mind.
Yes.
When you get involved in this kind of stuff.
Definitely. And I did want to point out, many of you probably follow Mike Winger, but he had a great suggestion about this specific eclipse that happened. And he did say that we should all write down every prophet who has made a prediction about today, whatever that prediction may be. And if it didn't occur, mark and avoid. That's how we step up and defend the truth, defend mm-hmm. our faith from people who are using our faith for nefarious means is, you know, we have to mark and avoid those and tell others, dude, please don't follow this guy anymore. He's a crackpot. We gotta pray for this guy that the Lord reveals to him his error and he comes back into the truth of the gospel and the Lord. That's what we have to do, but we gotta make sure that we're no longer listening to people who are pretending to be prophets today and there is no proof of anything like that. So we have to do our due diligence as believers. And other than that, I mean, I don't know what else I can add to it, but we are chilling out right now. So I guess we'll wrap it up with that specific area. And we're going to go ahead and bring it back to what we were saying in the beginning of the episode. Me and my wife are trying to start an organization on our local, it's not even local, it's our actual state university here, the biggest university in our state. And it's an organization that deals with evangelism and apologetics on campus. And we're just trying to reach the youth on the campus right now. And we are partnered with other organizations, international organizations and stuff. And we're just hoping to get this all, the ball moving. And it's been kind of slow. We've been having to do a few things here and there, which has been preoccupying our time of making any podcasts lately. But it looks like the ball is rolling. We're projected to start at the fall of this year. And hopefully we can bring some people onto the campus to help be the causation for evangelism to occur, for the gospel to be spread on campus, and for the faith to be defended. Hopefully we have the chance to bring some speakers onto campus. And our goal is to like have some speakers who would draw in the crowd from skeptics, atheists, everybody who just wants to come in and hear, and even have debates. We would love to have some big initial debate between one of the big boys out there and have one of our big boys go out there and do it. So we would love your guys' prayers and support for that, because it's been quite a journey to try to get this off the ground, but we really feel God is calling us to do this. We've had a heart for evangelism for many years. And since we both are in college and we're both in secular colleges right now with the aim of getting to a Christian college, we really feel it is our calling right now from the Lord to actually spread the gospel in one of the darkest places right now, which is on a secular university.
Yeah, we live in a very far left state too as well. So it's kind of like ground zero at this campus and where those bad ideas really really start spreading. So,
yes. And lastly, we are going to fulfill our oath, as Aragorn from the Lord of the Rings said to you all. In the first episode of this season, we said that we were going to make sure that we reviewed the quasi-sequel to come out in Jesus' name, which is the Domino Revival. But we have been waiting for Mike Signorelli to put it up online on Amazon or something, which he has yet to do. And we just found out a few weeks ago that they are re-releasing the movie that we missed, the Domino Revival, in theaters in April. And it's actually going to be a condensed version where they combine Come Out in Jesus' Name and Domino Revival, and they make it into one movie. And it's going to be called Miracles at the Theaters, or Miracles at the Movies, or something of that nature. And right now we are waiting, and we are trying to see which theater is going to have the most people in it, because that's where we want to be, because we want to react and see how people are being. We really want to have a chance to speak to these people, as we did last time with Come Out in Jesus' Name. And this time we're going to bring a few of our friends with us, and most likely Pastor Luke and Donna, Damara's parents, will be there again, and we should have a big round table about our reactions and what we had with the people there. So we would also encourage you guys to pray for us for that too, because mm-hmm. last time that we went, it felt like a very dark place to be, especially when they started doing their deliverances and they were putting their hands up towards us, because Greg Locke called out us as being the heretics and the spirits of religion in the room. So we would ask for your guys' prayer for when that happens. But on another note, after we are done with that, we are going to be wrapping up season two. And that will give us some time to come up with new ideas for our following season that will coming up later on this year. And we are also going to be able to have the time that we need to get this college ministry started. And after that, I think we'll be back in it. But we thank you guys for your support. We are sorry for the long time it took for us to come back and make an episode. And this is an extra long Fast Impacts, which is fine. And again, we thank you guys for listening. You have anything, closing thoughts?
No, thank you for listening. And if you guys have any questions, or if you have any ideas on what you want us to cover for, next season, just give us an email.